until it turns green. There we go. Look at the clock. It's 6:15. The pastor said, if I'm not due by 6:30, he's straightening me straight down, not to Gehenna, but even further down than that. So let's get after it. Real fast, I just want to talk just a few minutes about the passion of the ministry. The passion of the ministry. And for that, I just, real fast, I don't have time to do all these applications and check out the background, all that stuff. But in Matthew chapter 20, there's a story. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into a vineyard. Okay, and then let's skip on down, verse 3. And when he went out about the third hour, he saw others, asked them to come. Verse 5, and again he went about the sixth and ninth and did likewise. Verse 6, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. This is the entire time. He's out at 6 o'clock in the morning. He's out at 9 o'clock in the morning. He's out at noon. He's out at 3. He's even out at 5 o'clock, and a Jewish calendar ends at 6 p.m. There's 1 hour left, and he's still looking. Who's he? The Father. See, if you go with me to John chapter 15, the passion belongs to him. He's the one that paid the price. You say, well, Brother Rose, you got it wrong. Jesus Christ paid the price, yeah, for our sin. What do you think the Father was doing while the Son was hanging on at Calvary? I don't think anybody knows how to hurt like a father does. But it's his fruit. In John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. My Father. And if you look at this chapter, you got verse 2, he that beareth not fruit, and then at the end, more fruit. Verse 5, toward the end, much fruit. And then verse 16, that your fruit should remain. I call it eternal fruit. Fruit. He wants the fruit. It's his. He demands it be brought in. It was bought and paid for with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He can afford it. If you go into that story in John chapter Matthew 20, they came to payday. And every man received exactly what he was promised. And if you notice that story, the only group that he agreed with the price was those who went out early in the morning. He told them, I'm going to give you a penny a day. I'm going to take care of your daily necessities. That's the only crowd. The rest, he just said, I'll do what's right by you. Check it out. I'll do what's right by you. Well, when it came to payday, here comes these last ones who worked an hour. They didn't expect anything. Huh. They got the whole day's wage. Can you imagine how happy they went? But the elders, oh, they got mad. I've got to go back there. I'm sorry. I can't just wing this. But if you notice, it says, verse 11, and when they had received, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. Whoa. Whoa. So you bore the heat and the burden of the day, huh? What's the Lord there for? I guess you don't need him, because you're carrying the heat and burden of the day. And I want to say something here. I love all those that work in the ministry. And guys, if you know of anybody on the field, even if they're doing absolutely nothing, cheer them on. And I know you're not going to understand this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Until you've heard a dog bark in Spanish or a horn honk in Japanese, you don't know what loneliness is. It's one thing to go down on these survey trips and hop back on a plane and go home. That's one thing. It's another thing to land knowing you're there for the rest of your time. It's another whole ballgame. And those that do, after a while, like myself, well, I just know about everybody in Peru. I think the only one that's been there longer than me is God himself. So I got there in 1958. If anybody can get there longer than that, let me know. But I don't know of anybody. But you get to know just about everybody. You know that church and that church and that preacher and that preacher, and get in a fight with this one, get in a fight with that one, until you fought with somebody you haven't really been there yet. And, well, then you get this attitude start growing on you. You know, hey, I'm kind of worth it, you know. Look what all I have done. And all of a sudden you see some young whippersnapper come along and start getting the accolades and the money and the praise and everything going to him. And, hey, how about me? The Baptist had it right. It's necessary. He must increase, and I must decrease. It's easy doing this, guys. This is the hard one. Yeah, we all preach about Balaam. Poor Balaam was thrown off on the side there and forgotten all about him. And all of a sudden somebody came along and offered me a come preach our conference for us. What's the name of the conference? Anti-Israel. Well, I'm not doing that. Overpaying great big bucks. Oh, well, okay, maybe I can fit it in my schedule somewhere. Yeah, I know how that goes. Here's the sad part. After all that work, after all that time he spent working in the vineyard, and I believe he worked in the vineyard, he's disgruntled because he's not getting what he thought he was worth. He says, I have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Really? Excuse me, sir, but I don't believe you have the strength to bear the burden of the day. What if there was a verse in the Bible that said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What I'm getting at is, even though you're carrying all that burden, all that care, who cares for you? He is. It's kind of like the guy hitchhiking on the road, you know, and he's got a big old bag with him. And the guy says, oh, man, go ahead and get in the truck. So he gets in the truck. He's got that burden. Hey, man, don't have to wait. Throw it in the truck. Oh, no, no, it's good enough that you carry me. But I'm not going to make carry me and this load, too. The truck don't care. Hey, in the saddest words in the Scriptures, look what it says here, verse 13. He said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Dear brethren, especially those of you that are out in the fields, I mean, I know what it's like. It's amazing. I've been on there 43 years, and now all of a sudden I get a whole bunch of company. Man, but for a long time, nobody came to see me. Nobody. But we get to where saying, you know, boy, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I might as well go outside and eat worms and die. I say, well, go for it. You know, if that's what you need to do, go do what you got to go do. Friend, I do thee no wrong. Please remember that. I've not done you wrong. The very fact that you're still breathing, that's because of his mercy. It's his grace. And he says, didst not thou agree with me for a penny? And now here goes the saddest word of Scripture. Take that thine is and go thy way. Take whatever's yours and go. I've seen many do that. Gruntled, upset, mad. Everybody did me wrong. Everybody did me wrong. But friend, I didn't do you wrong. You're right. But now that you're all upset, now that you're all blaming him, take that thine is. What would you take? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as I gave it, even as unto thee. He is not cheating him. He's doing what he said he'd do. And dear brother, what has God promised you to do? He said, I'll take care of you. I'll provide your needs according to my riches and glory. You'll always need that super grace that God knows how to give. You don't always need abundance of supply. You don't always need it. I'm not going to do this now, but I kind of want to tell you a story about fruit production. Years ago, I had a pretty large place, and I was looking for somebody to take care of my plants. You ought to have seen me take care of my beautiful yard. I had a beautiful yard. Oh, it was gorgeous. And I'd go outside, and I'd hook up two great big hoses and hook it up to the water supply. And, man, I had grapes, figs, two fig trees. I know exactly why the Lord said, "What?" Nathaniel said, "Wow, you saw me under the fig tree? I know why. I had one." I had apricot trees. I was loaded. And I'd see myself with my hose acting like it was the word of God, and I'm reaching all those four places and giving them all the water they ever need. And a fellow by the name of Juan Mondaca showed up. I don't know to tell you how he got there, but he showed up. He wanted a job. This man had a hard time talking. I don't know if he had lockjaw or what. He talked like this all the time. And he asked me, he said, "Do I have the job?" I said, "Well, yeah. But what I didn't tell you is that I walked in through my whole yard, and I was telling him all the way I took care of it, how I took care of it, how I was so careful. He looked at me and said, "Do I get the job?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do me a favor. Stay out of the yard. You're killing it. You don't know anything about production of fruit, do you?" "Well, you know, I know you need water and a bunch of it." "No, you're killing it." He said, "Let me tell you the truth about fruit. In this land, when the sun goes up to the sky, and it starts beating the life out of everything that's underneath it. Then the roots in this vine, talk about the grapes, they go digging down into the ground looking for this precious life-giving substance called water." I should have taken a longer nap today, Celeste. I'm sorry. Water. And when it finds that stuff, it grabs it and throws it up to the vine and stores it in little sacks called grapes. But a lot of times those vines go down, they don't find water. There's just no water to be found. And so it turns back to the grape and says, "Grape, give me of the water that I asked you to store for me." And the grape turns back the water to the vine, and the vine turns back its salve into the grape. And that's what makes the grape sweet, the sap that's in the vine. And as long as you're there, Mr. Rose, giving it all the water it needs, that process of going from the water to wine never takes place. So do me a favor. If this is going to be my job, I want to ask you one question. What do you want out of all this? Well, fruit, of course. You know how that guy is. What do you think I want out of fruit? Well, you ain't going to get none this time. Stay out of the yard. Okay, well, what's he going to do? I'm going to water it like once every 2 weeks. Man, my plants are going to die. That's what they need to do. So as they're dying, they give what they have back to the vine. And the vine gives what it has to the grape. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. And the husband says, "I want my fruit one day." And Brother Freeman, the truth is, I really salute you in the name of the Lord. One day the Lord himself is going to come by this vine. He's going to taste the grape. Pray God that it's not bitter, it tastes just like you. Pray God that he tastes that, this tastes just like my beloved son, and whom I am well pleased. By the way, when the harvest came in, we had so much, not that first season, he was right, little bitty old not things called bitter dog, yeah, they were. But the next year, we had so many grapes, sacks and sacks and sacks. I'm talking about those big old trash bag sacks. We couldn't give them all away. I learned to drink grape juice, eat grape jelly, eat grapes at night time, dinner time, boiled grapes, steamed grapes, you name it, kind of grapes. We had grapes and apricots too. Oh my, we finally had to beg the guy to tear the apricot tree down because it's raining apricots out here. You don't want to hear the words, take that thine is and go thy way. Give unto the Lord. Give him what he's given you. Let him turn that water that you have into wine. God bless you, brother. Thank you for this privilege. Look at the clock now. I want you to see that I did what you asked me to do.
Thank you, Brother Rose.